Good morning.
Good morning.
We're so glad that you're with us, either online or sitting in these pews. I love seeing the smiling faces. Thank you. Before we begin the worship service, I encourage you to read your bulletin. It's got lots of great information in it. And I do want to point out a few of those announcements. Family night suppers, you only have one more week. This week, on Wednesday, fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, collard greens, and peach cobbler. Father's Day is Sunday, June 20th, and you are you're invited to honor the men in your life by making a donation to Wesley Glenn Ministries. Deadline for being included in the bulletin insert for Father's Day is Tuesday, June 15th. Wesley Glenn is a ministry for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. It is an outreach of the South Georgia Annual Conference of the United Methodist Church. Attention all early worshipers, which you probably are not, but early worshipers, welcome back home. Starting Sunday, June 20th, the 8:30 traditional service will return to the beautiful Ilges Chapel. Please join us for in-person worship only in this sacred space. Our 11 o'clock service, this one in the sanctuary, will continue to be live streamed each week. Upcoming events for June, Vacation Bible School is next week, not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, June 14th through the 18th. We're looking forward to a wonderful week of organized chaos. Registration is no longer online, and spaces are limited to specific age groups. If you missed registering your child for our Knights of the North Castle, contact Grace Bailey. The Red Cross Blood Drive for next Sunday, June 13th, has been canceled. One more time, the blood drive has been canceled. Stay tuned for our next one. July events will be here before we know it. We have the elementary church camp at Shaco Springs. Lots of details for that in your bulletin. Check it out. Please reach out to Grace Bailey with your questions. Our youth will be serving as counselors. And the SPY, that's St. Paul Youth, beach trip to Panama City is the 26th through the 30th of July. Over the summer, SPY will meet every Sunday evening from 6 to 7:30 for a snack supper with Sunday summer Bible study, and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for SPY Sports Wednesday. For more information, check the SPY website, which is youth.spumccolumbus.com, or look for the SPY Instagram, or a parent email should have gone out. The flowers on the sanctuary altar today are given to the glory of God and in loving memory of Susan B. Scroggs in celebration of her birthday by Brian, Robin, Rachel, and Riley Greer. The flowers in the narthex area of the sanctuary and in the fellowship hall today are given to the glory of God and in loving memory of Mrs. Virginia Cohn Wisnett, Mrs. Beverly Jones Marion, Mr. William Douglas Sloan, and Mr. and Mrs. James Alton Hamrick, from the wedding of Mr. and Mrs. James Andrew Hamrick, that's Andrew and Shannon, yesterday, June 5th, in the St. Paul Sanctuary. Before we begin, I urge you to find this yellow card that's in your bulletin. Please fill it out. Please fill it out and let us know that you're here because it matters. There's also a QR code you can hover over and you can register online if you so wish. Let us prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you. singing of the hymn of celebration, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. That's number 103 in your hymnal. Affirm our faith. Let us unite in the historic confession of the Christian Church. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I'd like to invite the Colemans at this time, Trammell and Molly Coleman, with their daughter Lily and their son, William Trammell Coleman Jr. He's the grandson of Kathy and Dave Horn and David Young and then Allison and Jerry Coleman. They're here to present him before God and you for baptism. Even though we make individual vows and covenants with God, we do it inside of a larger context, inside of a community, so you'll have a part to play in just a few moments to take vows, to covenant with both Trammell and Molly, and then also with God. And as when you see little Trammell, we'll probably be big Trammell here in a few years, but you'll model your life in a certain way so that he sees Christ living in you. So Trammell and Molly, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? If so, answer, I do. And do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, I do. And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do. And will you nurture Trammell in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, answer, I will. Let us pray. O eternal God, your mighty acts of salvation have been made known through the water, from the moving of your Spirit upon the waters of creation to the deliverance of your people through the flood and through the Red Sea. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb, baptized by John, and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit, O God, that you would bless the gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sins and clothe them in righteousness throughout all the days of their life, that by dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in final victory. Through the same Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. What name is given to this child?
William Trammell Holmes Jr.
Come here, buddy.
Yeah.
William Trammell Coleman, Jr., I baptize you now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May God's grace and mercy rest upon you all the days of your life. Amen. I invite you, if you would, to turn to hymn 191, Jesus Loves Me. We're going to sing this together. Part to play in this as well. Will you take these vows? Do you renew your faith in God, place your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, place your whole trust in His grace for salvation? If so, answer, we do. And will you nurture Trammell in faith by loving and caring for him? Will you do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love? If so, answer, we will. Let us pray. Oh God, we give thanks for your love and your mercy, and we give thanks for Trammell for his life. What we pray, God, is that you would use us as witnesses, as examples of Christ's followers, that what he sees in us in our life as we interact with his, that he'll see what it's like for God to love him deeply. Watch over him, bless his family, we pray, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Say, I've used all my time, didn't I? So thank you. You may be seated.
Dear gracious God, We give you thanks for this day, for it is made by you. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we come to you in prayer this morning, we're thankful for so many blessings from you, including Scripture. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5 says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." While summer is here and schools are out for students and teachers for a much-needed break, these verses remind me that you are our teacher. We are your students, and there's no time off from your school of life. We are all a work in progress and constantly need you to show us your ways, your truth, your wisdom, and so much more. There's a saying, you don't know what you don't know. And that's so true. We don't know what we don't know. We don't know how everything works or how our problems will work out. We don't know the future. But we know you are in the past, the present, and the future. And that gives us hope. Thank you, God, our teacher and Savior, for helping us learn and grow to work towards being the ones you created us to be. School is still in session, and we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your precious Son who taught his disciples and taught us how to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Please stand for our reading of our scripture today. Coming from John 20, verses 19 through 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Definitely want to say a word of thanks to our choir and to Ruslan and Anna. Thanks for playing. It's always a delight when you are with us. And then to Jeannie March, welcome back. So good to see you and glad that she's playing. I know a number of you seeing you today. Glad that you're here. I know some are worshiping with us online, and hopefully in the future it'll be look forward to seeing you also in live in-person worship. Thanks for joining us, however it may be, either in our sanctuary or online. Let us pray. Oh God, what we pray at this moment as we move into a different part of our worship service, that you will take the scripture lesson that was read and with the addition of your Spirit, leverage it in a way so that it's implanted deep down, the gospel that is, implanted deep down into our souls. And the way your New Testament describes it is that it becomes like a seed that eventually grows into a harvest. And so we want to pray that for our life, oh God, and we want this to be a part of that. So we open ourselves always in worship to your gospel and trust the Spirit's work inside of each and every one of us. So again, we pray this, and we pray this in your name. Amen. My daughter, Caroline, she has, really it's a favorite phrase, but she has this phrase that that she always utters whenever she is expecting one thing to happen in her life, and then what happens is something that's completely opposite, and she's left either flat-footed or a little confused, and it is a look where she's perplexed, maybe eyebrows or furrowed just a hair, and then she'll look and say, "Wait, what?" and sort of pause for a moment. And I found out before the service that it's not just Caroline that utters this phrase, because one of our acolytes, William Powell, when he was getting ready this morning, and I asked him a question that was really a boneheaded question, but there was a look of like, "Wait, what?" And so my response to William was, "Cut me some slack. You're growing so fast now that you change every Sunday. And so just seeing you, it takes me a minute to gather who everyone is." But Caroline has this phrase, "Wait, what?" whenever she's expecting one thing and it should be something else. Now, if in the Greek they had that phrase, it would show up in this passage. Because that's what's going on with the disciples. Now, you have to get the larger story. The context is that the disciples, they're hiding, they're afraid, they're in what most people believe, and it's probably a pretty good guess, logically speaking, that they're in that same upper room that they celebrated the Last Supper with Jesus just a few days before, but he's dead, and so they're behind locked doors. They're fearful for good reasons. I mean, the leader has just died, and so they would naturally think they're next on the list. And so physically, they are afraid, but their fear is larger than just physical fear. It's an emotional fear. For 3 years, they followed Jesus. For 3 years, they placed their hopes in him. They placed their dreams, their longings, were all anchored to this one person. And then overnight, everything came crashing down. And then immediately after this passage, that's the scene before the passage. And right after the passage, when we study and look at the disciples' lives, they're completely different. So naturally the question is, what happened? Now, what we would say for those that study the scriptures, that we're witnessing a theological paradigm shift, a fundamental shift in who they are and what they believe and their identity, and then ultimately how they act or how they function in the world. But so when we look at the passage, it's natural for us to ask the question, what happened to them that resulted in this level of change? Maybe what we would ask of ourselves would be, how does a person like this change? How does one become a different person? Well, this passage is a perfect example of what happened to them. And so naturally we can conclude that maybe either what happened to us or what can happen to us. So in the passage, when we look at this, what we see first and foremost is that the disciples were confronted first with the truth. They're behind a locked door, and Jesus, upon entering, gives a greeting, good morning, peace be with you. And then immediately he says, touch and see. I want you to look at my hands. I want you to look at my side. I want you to come. I want you to touch these. I want you to verify. Why? I mean, why confront them this way? For this reason, truth has a way of settling fears. Truth, often when it comes to fear, we live with a false narrative, and so we sort of grasp at all these unknowns, and then we allow those to play out, and they funnel out over and over and over until eventually we create this false sense of reality, all based on fear. Truth counters it. Truth has this ability to meet us at our greatest point of need. Often that's where our fears live. Often that's what forms our identity. Here's what's interesting about the truth. You never have to be afraid of what the truth is. The truth is not something just because somebody says it. The truth is self-authenticating. It is what it is. And it's what helps a person stand, even in the face of fear. So the disciples, they were afraid, and yet upon seeing Jesus, they're confronted with this truth, touch and see, and instantly they are able now to stand on solid footing. Right after they are confronted with the truth, Jesus then empowered and strengthened the disciples through the Spirit. That's verse 22. It's experiential. Jesus is in the room and he says, touch and see, verify. And then immediately he says, receive the Spirit, and he breathed on them. It's the only time in the New Testament this shows up. Now it harkens back to the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the image of God breathing into Adam life. But this is the only time in the New Testament where that image is used. What Jesus gave them something that they didn't have, so that eventually they could do something that previously they could not do. And in this text, there's that image of breathing, receiving. It's only here in the New Testament. One time when I was teaching the Gospel of John in a Bible study in a small group, there was a person in the group that said, Shane, give me a modern-day image of what this looks like. And the image that came to my mind was whenever you're either in the hospital or maybe in your physician's office and you receive either medicine or blood through intravenously, through an IV, where something on the outside you receive that in, so that then outside and inside actually form something new. That's the image in the passage. Jesus breathed on them, receive my Spirit. They took that into themselves and became something different. So if they're first confronted with the truth that removed their fear so they could stand, they then are empowered by the Spirit so that they can begin something new. And what they began? What Jesus gave them? A new purpose. In the passage, verse 21, verse 23, Jesus said to these disciples, just as I have been sent, I now send you. There are two verbs that show up in the New Testament that have to do with sending. One is apostelos, where we get actually the word apostle, the sent one. The other word is pimpo. Both of those words carry with them the connotation that people are sent for a purpose. And the purpose for them, same purpose for us, is this mission of forgiveness. So you also have a purpose. Have a mission. And it's the very same mission and purpose for Christ, a mission of forgiveness. In the Hebrew culture, they have this concept that's called salia, and salia is where a person is sent. So you have a sendee and you have a sender. And the sendee is sent by the sender, but the sendee bears the dignity and the authority of the sender. So everywhere the sendee goes, he or she represents the sender as if the sender is present. That's the concept. Just as I was sent, Jesus, I now send you. And so you now are the personification, the example, the witness, the testimony of this mission of forgiveness. Jesus gave it to the disciples, and now you have it. So wherever we go, when we leave this place, when this service is over and you walk out of this sanctuary, you are sent. You now have the same purpose and mission as these disciples. So when you speak, the actions you commit, you then model a kingdom of forgiveness. Not unlike the vow you took a few moments ago in the baptism. Remember that pledge? Will you live a certain way? Will you model a certain life? It's not just for Trammell. It's for every person that you meet. These disciples, how do they change? They're confronted with the truth. And it met them at their very point of need. The removal of fear. They're empowered by a spirit, and then they're sent with a new purpose. Now, if I had to guess, at some point on this spectrum, that's where we lie. Maybe for someone this morning, it's this idea of forming their identity with the truth of Christ. Even though we wouldn't want to admit it, but if we're honest with ourselves, maybe the greatest influence that in our life has more to do with fear than it does anything else. Perhaps at that point of greatest need is where you can touch and see. Verify. Either Jesus is or he is not. Maybe for someone else, it's this sense of empowerment to be strengthened by his spirit so that you receive something that you didn't have, so that then you could do something that previously you could not do. Maybe for another, it's to own this mission. This purpose of being a Christ follower. So that how you live, you represent Christ in the world. You know, thinking about how to end this service, there's probably not a better way to end the service than communion. But what you do, or what we do when we take communion, we do all three of these. Confronted with the truth. We'll profess that in a few moments. We want to experience, we want to take something in. This idea of bread, juice, body, blood. The image is taking in something from the outside so that now it mixes with our inside and our inside is different. And then we leave owning that purpose, owning that mission. If it happened to the disciples, then it can happen to us. So I invite you at this time to prepare your hearts to receive this gift. If you would, take your hymn books and turn with me to page 12. To receive this invitation, Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, We confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Now may the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their ending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Hopefully on your way into the sanctuary this morning, you picked up one of the little communion sets. If you haven't, if you would just raise your hand. One of our ushers could bring that to you. They're located in the narthex and on the sides. If you would, go ahead and open those up. In a few moments, we'll eat the bread and then drink the cup. For those that are joining at home, if you would, you've been asked to set bread and juice aside. If you would, go ahead and take those at this time as we'll take communion together. Give thanks to God for this gift. invite you, if you would, to take your hymn books again and turn with me to hymn number 614. For the bread which you have broken is going to be our closing hymn. I invite you to stand as you're able as we sing this together. Hymn 614. I invite you to receive this benediction. Now may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his face and his countenance and give you rest and peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You are dismissed.